So as we continue here, looking at this powerful Sermon on the Mountain by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, last week we looked at Jesus as he was focusing on making heavenly investments. And that is committing, spending, utilizing our lives for eternal gain or profit or benefit. In other words, making investments in the lives of others that will have eternal benefit. The question that Jesus was asking here is, where are we lying up our treasures? The concept in the Greek of lying up our treasures is building up, saving up, accumulating. And when we think about what we may build up or accumulate or save up, more times than not, if we are really going to do just that, we're going to have our heart into it, aren't we? We're going to make sure that it is important to us, whatever we are building up or accumulating. If it's important to us, if we have heart, if we have desire to accumulate these things, then those things are going to be done. Because where our heart is, we'll get it done, won't we? If we want something bad enough in our heart, we'll get it done. And that's the focus that Jesus is making here. He's saying here in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So more specifically it is, where is your heart? He's asking us, where's your heart? Is your heart today on earthly things, worldly things, things that are temporal, things that collect dust and rust and can be stolen? Or are they on things that are eternal? Making making a difference in the life of someone else. Making a difference in the life of someone that's got eternal benefit. Where's our heart? What are we treasuring this morning? You know, interesting enough, as we look at today's focus, Jesus is teaching, and as his teaching, it's kind of building up in the exposure of these hypocritical Pharisees and scribes. But I know a lot of times when we look at these teachings of Jesus, we can sit there and get too focused on the fact that he is maybe exposing these hypocritical Pharisees and kind of put it on there. Say, oh, well, he's talking to Pharisees. But you have to remember, he's also teaching his followers. He's also teaching and instructing his disciples. Because he knows that his time here on earth is coming closely to an end. And they're going to be on their own. And so he's giving them this important instruction so they don't fall into the same trap or the same corrupt practices that these Pharisees are in. So yeah, we can sit there more times than not and look at this and say, oh, well, he's exposing those Pharisees, but he's also teaching his disciples so that when he's gone, they don't fall into the same corrupt practices. You know, he's preaching to the crowd, but he's also exposing the doctrine and the corrupt practices of these Pharisees, but he's also teaching disciples against being focused on pleasing man over pleasing God. Against being so concerned about public elevation over elevating the Lord. And I truly appreciate the song that Nikki sang this morning and Hannah so eloquently played, because that should be our desire. As we come into the house of God, as we come into our prayer closet or our devotional time or as we are in the workplace, our goal in life should be elevating the Lord. And hopefully that is our goal as believers, is living a life. And that's the importance of these precious teachings that we've been going over the last few months. Is that our goal as believers in our life, in our testimony, in our attitudes, in our actions, in our giving, in our prayer, in our fasting, should be not about what we can get attention-wise and looking holy and great for those around us, but in elevating our Heavenly Father. Elevating our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So going back to the beginning here, Jesus is talking about enduring persecution. during persecution, because again, he knows his time here is coming to an end, and those that are going to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, he's warning them, you will have to endure persecution. Especially if you are going to follow Jesus and endure that persecution for his sake. But then he also encourages and says, well, there'll be rewards in heaven for those that do. He also talks about glorifying the Lord with our testimony, with our lives, and even in persecution. He challenges that the faithful follower will try to be pure in their heart and in their mind. He also teaches on, as we looked at the last few weeks, you know, giving and prayer and fasting, and that we should be doing those things with a sincere heart. And he promises that those things that are done in secret, God will reward openly. So again, the focus there is on our heart when it comes to our giving and our prayer and our fasting. Last week, again, making eternal investments. You know, when you think about making investments, more times than not, you know, we're thinking about investing in our future, investing in retirement. You know, we're kind of focused on those things more times than not. But even that's temporal. Yeah, it might be 40 years down the road. Maybe some of you, maybe a little less. But it's temporal. What investments are we making that are going to have eternal benefit? And then today, he teaches on the hypocritical judging of others. And the interesting thing here is, he's more than just instructing believers, but he's directing believers on how we should be conducting ourselves when it comes to the faults of others. His intentions, again, seems directed to the scribes and the Pharisees and their hypocritical doctrine and practices. But again, he's directing his disciples and followers against this hypocritical behavior. And when you really stop and think about it, the sobering thing is, he's addressing his followers and disciples almost 2,000 years ago. And yet it's something that we deal with in today's Christianity, don't we? You may not want to admit it, but in churches all across this country, there's a lot of judging going on. There's a lot of judging going on. And we're going to break that down a little bit, and hopefully becomes a little bit easier to understand, because there is such thing as righteous judgment. And yes, we are to be restoring our brothers and sisters in Christ. Have to be careful about hypocritical judging. You know, when Jesus says, judge not, that is in the imperative tense. He's not making a suggestion. You know, kind of like when we ask our kids to take the trash out, and they don't put the controller down from the Xbox, right? It's like, no, that wasn't a suggestion. Go get the trash and take it out. You know, he's not making a suggestion. He's letting us know that the judging that he is referring to is the kind of judgmental attitude that tears down in order to build oneself up. Tear down in order to build oneself up. And as believers, we are to be exercising careful discernment when it comes to restoring a brother and sister in Christ. Careful discernment. John 7:24 says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You know, Jesus is focusing on that mindset that we should be more concerned about our own walk and our own stumbling along the way than we should be focusing on the mistakes of others. Turn to Romans chapter 14, please, if you can. Romans chapter 14. Look at verses 10 through 13. Romans chapter 14. Starting in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou, set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of him to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. The reality is, we are all sinners. We all make mistakes, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, that's the reality. We will all stand before Christ in judgment. And before we judge, we need to make sure that we ourselves are in a right place with God. So first here, going back to our text, we see Jesus instructing that before we judge others, we need to judge ourselves. We need to judge ourselves. Verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So those who judge will be judged by the same measurement. Reading back here in verse 2, it says, for what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet. Now, meet is basically another way of saying to measure. So in this mindset, again, we're looking at judging. So we could probably read this way. With what judgment ye shall judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye judge, it shall be measured to you again. Before we judge others, we need to embrace the fact that we will be judged by the Lord for our sin. And we have to think about the extent of what we judge. We will be judged by the Lord. You know, you think about judgment. I mean, if I'm going to be judged by the same extent or measurement that I judge someone else, boy, I don't want to be like this, right? I asked my friend to help me here. Is that what we want to be judged? Do we want to be judged to this extent that we judge someone else? You can come back and go, thanks, buddy. Thanks for taking it easy and we not letting go. Shwabba. Or this. So we have to remember that we're going to be judged by the same measure or extent that we judge someone else. So before we start judging, we better start thinking about ourselves. And that's what Jesus is trying to teach us here. Now, there are obviously those that are in the office or position to judge. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He is talking about those private persons that are not given the authority to judge. Turn to John chapter 8, please, if you could. John chapter 8. Starting in verse 1. One of my favorite passages. We can learn so much from this. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? I love it when they try to think they're tricking Jesus. Isn't that just hilarious? And this they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Verse 7, so when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. You know, Jesus is advising believers that we need to examine ourselves. Believers need to examine their own conduct and behaviors instead of judging others. In other words, it's looking in the mirror. I mean, how often do we do that before we judge a brother and sister in Christ? Are we looking in the mirror to see our own sin? That's exposed to us before we look at someone else? Because when you really stop and think about it, when we start taking our eyes off of where they're supposed to be, which is up to the Lord, and we start looking around, what have we done? We've taken our eyes off where they should be. We've taken our eyes off of our relationship with our Savior, our Heavenly Father, His Holy Spirit, off His Word. We're taking our eyes off where they should be. That mirror that reflects our own sin. The interesting thing about this challenge that I found is, if we're honest, if we are absolutely honest, it would be very hard for any of us to judge someone else because we're all sinners, aren't we? We're all sinners. I'll never forget when I was teaching at Fairwinds Baptist Church or Fairwinds Christian School. And for chapel, we had a youth evangelist come in. And we've got all the teenagers there, high school students, and this youth evangelist proceeds to say, I'm a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. And one of the teenage girls went, oh, like, I can't believe you just said that. He goes, oh, honey, you're worse than me. And I know that seems extreme, but we're sinners. I had a family member that their grandmother, as she got a little older in years, when she was saved, she got older, she thought she wasn't a sinner anymore because she was saved. No, we're all still sinners, saved by the grace of God. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. And even though we're saved, we're still sinners. And don't get me wrong, we've talked about this over the last few weeks, in purity and holiness. And yes, we are to be striving for holiness. We are to be striving to be separated from sin. We are. But we're not going to be able to be perfect. There was only one perfect. But that's something we should be striving for. But we also have to embrace the fact that there is none righteous. No, not one. And Jesus is advising believers that they're not to judge their brother magisterially like they have authority over them, that we are to be subject one to another. And the interesting thing here is we read in John chapter 8 is that those that had stones that were really just probably wanting to throw them, when they were confronted with their own sin, when they were convicted of their own sin, what did they do? They dropped their rocks and they walked off. You know, before we judge others, we need to confront ourselves about our own sin first. But then second, before we judge others, we need to live consistent. Going back to our text, we are to live consistent. You know, believers need to consider themselves before they judge others. Verses 1 through 3 again. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye judge, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote, or the splinter, that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thy own eye? You see, I bring in a lot of props today. I wasn't about to bring a big giant, you know, 2x4. I thought about it. I thought it probably would fit in the Malibu. So we'll have to use our imaginations a little bit. Big difference between that big giant beam and that little splinter. And we have to embrace that self-evaluation period. That self-evaluation period is vital for righteous judgment. We have to make sure that we ourselves are in a right place with God. That we're in the right place with God. We also need to look at our sin and make sure that it's confessed and forgiven and under the blood. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we need to remember that in our own lives and embrace that. But then we also need to remember that for someone else's life. Before we judge them, we start thinking about how we can restore them, because they can be forgiven. They're forgiven by the same blood we're forgiven, amen? Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. So as you're turning there, you know, we need to make sure we're in the right place. We need to make sure that our sin is confessed and forgiven and under blood. But we also need to make sure that we live consistent to the Word of God in our own lives, so that we are in a place to help others. Living consistent to the Word of God so that we ourselves are in a place to help others. Galatians 6 verse 1. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think to himself something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You know, we're to help that one overtaken in a fault. Now again, the key word's help, not judge. Because judging does not help. I'll say it again. Judging does not help. But yet we're to restore the brother and sister in Christ that's been overtaken in a fall. You know, restore means to bring back to its original position, to reestablish. We should be trying to restore that brother in its original position. What's that original position? Well, if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're away from God, and they've been found and taken fault, then we should be restoring them back to the original position of being right with God. That should be our goal, is restoring that brother and sister in Christ, reestablishing that relationship with their Heavenly Father, bringing them back to the original position. But then we also look here a little further here. It says, verse 1 again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. What's next? Considering thyself. That means thinking about, focusing on, evaluating. We should be, again, looking in that mirror. We should be thinking about, evaluating ourselves. What? Lest thou also be tempted. So that we're not tempted. So we don't make that mistake and fall into maybe the same sin that we're trying to help a brother or sister of Christ in. Are we in the right place with God, ourselves? We are to be consistent with the Word of God. And again, taking the word judging, it really needs to be replaced with the word concern. You know, the true motive on our restoring another should be the concern that we have to help that brother and sister in Christ return to the original position and being reestablished in a right place with God. It shouldn't be judging. It should be concern. That should be our motivation. You know, Paul advises believers in the Church of Rome in Romans 12, 3, that we're not to think too highly of ourselves. Because if we do, we end up falling into that same corrupt or hypocritical practices of the Pharisees, and we find ourselves being filled with pride. I mean, that's what Paul is warning the Church of Rome. Don't get yourself thinking you're too high. Don't try to think too high of yourself or too much of yourself to where we start getting filled with pride, because once we do that, then we start looking down at everybody else because we're up here and we really shouldn't be. We really shouldn't be. You know, pride needs to be removed and judging needs to be replaced with genuine concern. Genuine concern. You know, how much do we care for that brother and sister in Christ? Do we care enough to make sure that we're consistent with the Word of God and we're in a right place with the Lord in our own spiritual lives? And instead of judging them and waving our finger at them, we reach down and while they're down, we grab their hand and we pull them up. Is that our concern? Is that our heart? Or do we sit there and kind of wag my finger at them and maybe walk by them? Walk away from them. Judging needs to be replaced with genuine concern. You know, we have to remember that we're nothing without Christ. We are nothing without Christ. And when I was at Pensacola, I tell you, it was a little disheartening at times. As I saw some of these young guys, these young ministerial majors, and man, they started going towards their masters and everything else, and they just all of a sudden acted like they've arrived. I'm there. Like, you're 22 years old. What do you mean you've arrived? You haven't even seen life yet. Wait till you start getting hit with mortgages and relationships and marriage situations and finances, and just wait. You haven't arrived yet. And that's a real scary place to be, no matter what age we're in, to think that we've arrived. That's one thing I'll cherish about Dr. Britton. You guys are probably going to hear me talk about Dr. Britton until my sky falls or the rapture happens or something. But the thing I appreciate about Dr. Britton, he's almost 98 years old. And if you sit and talk to that godly man, he will, this is what God showed me today from his word. Not, I'm a doctor and I've arrived and there's nothing you can tell me. And what wisdom would you like me to bestow upon you, young lad? No. Just, hey, this is what God showed me today in his word. That's a man who has a doctorate degree, who founded a church and started a church 60 years ago like Pastor Herm, and now has a doctorate degree and he's sitting as pastor emeritus of his church. And if anybody could be prideful or puffed up or think too highly of themselves, it's Dr. E.L. Britton. But he doesn't. He's a very humble man. He says, this is what God showed me in his word today. I think I've shared this before. Boy, Wednesday night prayer meeting. Listen, I told family, listen, you're not going to keep me. If you're late, I'm leaving you. Because I'm getting my seat by Dr. Britton on prayer meeting night. Because I wanted to learn from him. And I wanted him to share what God's done in his life throughout the ministries and what God did in his life today. And that's what we're seeing here in this text, that we can't think too highly of ourselves. Yeah, verse 3 here in Galatians chapter 6 is, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We can't allow ourselves to be prideful or deceived with, we're so great as a spiritual warrior. We're so high. We're so holy. We're so much above everybody else. And they're all down here and they're doing that. We're up here. No. We're nothing without Christ. We're nothing without Christ. And we need to start getting ourselves in a place of genuine concern over judging that brother and sister in Christ. And Jesus wants believers to be consistent before they judge others. Going back to our text, verse 3, be consistent. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know, before we start judging others, we need to consider ourselves and making sure that our lives are consistent with the Word of God. And why is that so important here, that we make sure that our lives are consistent with the Word of God? Because you know what the Word of God will show us? That beam in our eye. Because we might be looking past it. We might be looking at others and quickly looking at their mote or their splinter, and we're looking past the beam. And the Word of God, if we stay consistent to the Word of God, it will expose that beam in our own eye. It'll expose that beam in our own eye. And really, it comes down to this. Are we living according to the statutes and the commandments of the Word of God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you really think about going through the Christian life, day to day. And if we took that verse and we posted it somewhere where we could see it all day long, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Boy, that'd make a big difference on what kind of decision we make, wouldn't it? If you love me, going back to our heart, if you love me, keep my commandments. And as believers, we should be living according to the statutes and the commandments of the Word of God. Now, the interesting thing here is you take the picture of the beam, that big giant, you know, 2x4 sticking out of your face, and that splinter. I always like to, for some reason, I always picture a toothpick. Maybe it's smaller than a toothpick. I don't know, but I always picture a toothpick. And if we sit there and we look at that, we got to be careful, because that can portray the idea that there's different levels of sin. And I know as believers, we like to do that, don't we? Oh, this sin is way up here, and that little white lie I told, or maybe that little smudge of my taxes, yeah, that's down here. It's a little thing. And we like to put levels to sin. And we got to be careful, because that picture there can kind of portray the idea of different levels of sin. But we have to remember this morning that we can't adopt that mindset. There's no small sin in the eyes of God. Sin is sin. So we have to remember that we're not sitting there and analyzing, okay, this sin's here and this sin's here. No, all sin is sin. That little white little lie we did on our taxes, it's sin too. Hopefully I'm not convicting anybody here. I don't see anybody doing any of these. You know, obviously, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they were judging to elevate their own spiritual condition. But unfortunately here, again, this is something that, you know, even though it was preached almost 2,000 years ago, we see in Christianity today. And unfortunately, what Jesus is addressing here is the fact that there are others that will judge others to make themselves feel better spiritually. But believers need to consider themselves to make sure they're consistent with the Word of God. And then third, before we judge others, we need to clear our vision. Clear our vision. Back to our text here, starting in verse 4. I'll go ahead and I'll start back in 3. And why beholdest thou the mote or the splinter that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote or the splinter out of thine eye, but behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know, believers need to first remove the beam before they start looking around at others. You know, the fundamental truth here is that we, again, think about this. The fundamental truth about all this is that we should be concerned about our own sin, our own transgressions, our own iniquity, before we're worried about anybody else. We've got to focus on ourselves first. We've got to remove that beam out of our own eye. We've got to ask forgiveness of that sin. We have to confess that sin. We have to plead the blood of Jesus over that sin. Get rid of that beam out of our own eye before we start worrying about that splinter in someone else's eye. You know, the reality is, you know, living a successful Christian life is not easy. If you're here today and your goal in your Christian life is to live a victorious Christian life, it is not going to be easy. Especially in the world that we're dealing with today. You know, during our 5-year planning meeting we had yesterday, the deacons, and that was probably the one thing I think that probably was repeated throughout our meeting is the fact that this world's changed. And you know what? With technology, it's changing second by second by second by second. It's a lot different world today than it was 20 years ago, isn't it? And living a successful Christian life today is not easy. Now, if we're going to, you know, blend with the world and be like the world and have, you know, earthly investments instead of heavenly investments or eternal investments, I mean, it probably won't be as hard. But if you're going to try to live a victorious Christian life as a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, know this, it's not going to be easy to draw that line in the sand and say, no, I'm not going there. We have to remember the reality is that we are all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all have faults and failures. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there is only one righteous judge. But praise the Lord that those who know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior have the forgiveness of sin. Amen. As I close here, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm almost done, I promise. 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 23. It says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who is who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, those live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. You know, praise the Lord for the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. That he bore all of our sins. And at one point, we were sheep going astray. And because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, those that have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior now, we can now return to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. And like I just said, you know, if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we have to realize that we're going to make mistakes ourselves. We're going to have faults and failures. And living a victorious Christian life will not be easy. So again, embracing that truth and that concept, realize that because we can realize and embrace the fact that the Christian life is going to be hard. If I'm going to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, it's going to be hard. And because we're focused on that and how hard it is for myself, for Rich Unger, to live that successful Christian life, it's going to be too hard for me to judge someone else. But if we're trying to live consistent to the Word of God and trying to make sure that we're in a right place with God, then our judging needs to turn to genuine concern as we try to help that brother and sister up and restore them back into a right place with God, to their original position, being in a right place with God after they trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus is educating his disciples against these unholy practices. But as we read, if we read verse 6 here, the probability of these teachings falling on deaf ears, especially with the Pharisees and scribes, was more of a probably a probability than a possibility. But as believers, we should never be mistaken about this text. That we are to help that fallen brother and sister in Christ. We are to restore them in a spirit of meekness. But then also that we are to consider ourselves to be consistent to the Word of God. And the question is this: where are we this morning? Are we one of those ones that maybe are thinking a little bit too highly of ourselves and we're judging others? Or are we that one that says, you know what, I have genuine concern for that fallen brother and sister in Christ, and I want to do whatever I can to help restore them back into a right place with God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the teachings of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would continue